Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause IM Radio. My name is Robert. I am your host. I'm joined by Jeremy. Jeremy, how you doing today, man?
I am just fantabulous. How are you?
Good, good. I'm having actually a really good day. We did a lot of decorating, so.
A lot of decorating?
Fun. Yeah, we went out and got the tree today and, you know, did the decorating with the tree, and yeah, it was really cool.
That's nice.
That's the fun stuff.
Yeah, you know, today was just, it was just a very busy weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Had two back-to-back Christmas parties last night.
Oh, wow.
Came home, you know, we got home around midnight. And it was kind of a slug today. Got up and did some stuff around the house and, you know, and just, ugh. I need another day.
Yeah, yesterday I went and did some of my Christmas shopping.
Yeah,
so
I
went out to the mall and risked, you know, fighting over parking spots and crowds.
You know,
it was fun.
We went to the mall yesterday as well. So here was our agenda on Saturday. We get up, we go and we help somebody move. Then we go to the mall because we had to run in and get a few things. I now know why I prefer to shop online. You know, they have these, the women with their baby strollers and the babies in them, and they use the baby strollers as like battering rams.
Right.
and you know, you never want to cross a soccer mom in a baby stroller. It's just not never a good idea.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's kind of funny.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we went to the mall yesterday and ended up, you know how, like, you go into a store and you think that that's the line because that's where the crowd is?
Yeah.
So you're all sitting there standing in this line that isn't a line because people are in the wrong line, and you look stupid. And it was just like, I go in knowing what I want. You know what I mean? Like, I went with Tracy, my friend Tracy, and she walked out with, like, two things.
Right.
And I was like, we were in the mall for 2 hours, and you got two things. And, like, I walk in, I know what I want, I grab it, I leave. I don't look for anything else. I don't look for add-ons. I got to get out. It's too crowded now. I have to wait for during the week.
Oh, I hate the mall, especially at the holidays. Hate it.
Yeah, I used to work in them, so I don't miss that at all.
Oh, I've done the whole retail thing.
Yeah, I don't miss it at all. I used to work in the coffee shop, so I would be up in, you know, there at 5 o'clock in the morning when the mall opened at 7.
Because
we had to be there for
walkers.
The mall employees, and the walkers,
the mall walkers, the walkers, you know, because that's when they get their exercise.
Yeah.
You know,
so funny.
Oh, God. Just, you know, if I didn't have to do, well, this year everybody's getting a gift card because they're easy to get. I can just walk over to CVS, and they've got them on a little rack, and I just, like, get a few of them.
Yep.
That's it. It's not gift cards to CVS, but it's, like, gift cards to, like, restaurants and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm done.
Well, yeah, that's nice and easy.
Exactly.
But I have nieces. Do you have young nieces and nephews?
I have an infant niece.
Oh, okay. See, I have, like, a one-year-old, 11-year-old, a seven-year-old.
Yeah.
Who want all the expensive things and all the things you got to go run out and look for.
Right, yeah. My advice to them is get a job and buy it yourself.
Yeah, right. Well, the one cool thing we did this year was me and my partner, we participated in the Toys for Tots.
Uh-huh.
And we had a, you know, when we did one of his events, we had a Toys for Tots and people came and brought toys and stuff like that. So
that
was something different that we didn't do. But like I said before, on Black Friday, we went out and spent, you know, bought two big bags at KB Toy Works that's now going out of business. you heard about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they went for bankruptcy. And they we spent, you know, not a good amount of money. Like, it was our own kid. We went out and got two big bags of all these, you know, toys and stuff. And it was really cool because we, you know, didn't do that last year. So it was something different.
Yeah. I got to go get an unwrapped toy. I'll probably go get a teddy bear like I always do every year.
Mm-hmm.
And take it into work because we can drop toys off and stuff and we give them out. So it's nice to work for a company that does that.
Yeah, the one thing they were saying is they have a shortage of girl gifts.
Girl gifts?
Of girl toys. They were saying that there's a shortage of girl toys. Everybody goes out and buys like footballs and things like that for the boys. You know, because it's easy to pick up a football and just throw it in. You got a toy for a boy.
Exactly.
The girls kind of get shorted, from what I heard.
Exactly. Yeah. Poor girls.
Yeah, right.
I actually got an Easy Bake Oven one year. And I loved it.
I know somebody who had an Easy Bake Oven. It wasn't me, but I know somebody who had one.
Oh, come on.
I heard it was fun.
You played with it. I know you. You did, didn't you?
No, I didn't. It wasn't me.
Yeah, uh-huh. What are you hiding? What are you hiding, Rob? It's okay. I even played with my cousin's Make Me Pretty Barbie head.
No, I used to cut the Barbie's hair. I used to cut my sister's Barbie's hair. I thought I was a stylist.
Oh, God.
My mother should have known, right?
Oh, my lordy.
So,
oh, goodness.
Some things tonight we're going to actually talk about things that we're thankful for. Which, you know, with the holidays, it's a good thing to reflect on, you know, things we're thankful for. Going into the new year, we'll talk about maybe some New Year stuff if anybody has anything out there. If anyone out there in the chat room wants to call in, they can call in at 347-215-9442. Later on at the second half of the show, we're going to have Linda, our featured member of the month on the Pazian community, call in and chime in a little bit about what she's thankful for and how she got involved in everything that she does and whatnot.
Excellent.
Yeah. Some good news in the community is one of our members, RJ, just had a birthday, so happy birthday to RJ. And Sabrina made an announcement in the community that she ended up, she had a thought where she thought she felt a lump and she thought she had breast cancer, and she made the announcement that she does not have breast cancer, so she was, you know, excited to share that with everyone, so I just wanted to congratulate her on that.
Oh, that's good.
Which is always good, right?
Yes.
So one thing I was actually thinking about doing with the group is I want to actually quit smoking in the new year because I quit smoking before and then I picked it up again. So I'm actually going to get casted for my partials next week. So I want to quit smoking once I get, you know, my teeth all cleaned up and everything. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start a quit smoking group, you know, and maybe it'll pick up in the community. I thought that would be kind of something interesting to do.
You know, I haven't smoked. I quit in 1997.
Yeah, wow. That's a
long time. But I'll tell you, when I go out to a bar or I'm around people that smoke, it bothers me for a little bit, and then after a while it's like, you know what? I wouldn't mind having one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But smoking is a hard thing it's a hard habit to quit.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, I tell you what really helped me to quit smoking was I'm not coughing up that greenish, yellowish phlegm anymore. And
right.
My nose, you know, isn't running all the time with that greenish, yellowish gunk coming out of it. Ugh. It always looked like I had a head cold. And, yeah, it's just, you know, gross. And
I don't have that, thank God.
Well, my fingertips aren't yellow anymore.
Right.
You know, where you would hold the thing. And my teeth, they don't have that yellowish hue to them, and I don't taste like, my mouth doesn't taste like an ashtray anymore. Am I helping at all?
That was one thing that actually, you know, when I quit, it was the one thing that worked. You know, the one thing that I loved about it was that I didn't have that taste of, like, a cigarette. You know what I mean? And I'll always complain about other people smoking around me, joking around with them. You know what I mean? But
where you feel like your mouth is like the bottom of some bar, the floor of a bar.
Right. But then I felt like when I wasn't smoking, I was eating.
Well, see, I'd rather eat.
Yeah, well, then I started looking like, and people were like, yo, you quit smoking? I'd be like, yeah. They'd be like, oh, I can tell you put on some weight. You know, somebody said that to me once. And I was like, I can't believe you just said that to me. You know, it was like somebody who was related to me, which I thought was kind of rude. But anyway.
Well, you know, Rob, didn't mean to say this on air, but you're getting fat.
Right. It's the funniest thing is I go and I don't gain a damn pound since the last time I went to the doctors. Like when I go there, they're like, oh, you gained a pound, you lost a pound. And I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, Rob, I'll give you some of mine. I'm up to 194 pounds. But before anybody says anything, almost two years ago, 2007, May of 2007, when I was hospitalized and I was at 130 pounds. So I got the weight back, but it's all the wrong kind of weight. God, it's awful. Now it's like, God, now I can't get rid of it, you know?
Tom says it's water weight in the chat.
Water weight, yeah, and I wish. I think the water, no, it's definitely not water weight. No, it's a nice little white bulb there.
There's a couple people in the community who are trying to quit, so I thought that would be a kind of a good thing to try to bring some people together. Maybe that might, you know, help them out a little bit.
It's just healthier, you know. Mm-hmm. Even from being an HIV positive person, it's just healthier to stop smoking. And to kick all those, but you know, I still have a couple beers here and there, and I know I shouldn't be doing that. And
yeah, the cigarette's like my one last bad habit. You know what I mean? It's like I kick the drugs. I don't really drink anymore. And if I do, I go out. It's like one or two beers. You know what I mean? Like I don't even drink like I used to drink.
Oh, I can still drink like I used to drink.
Like I used to house down some shots and all night and be dancing and singing by the end of the night karaoke.
Well, you
not
know,
anymore.
I always say I don't drink anymore, but I don't drink any less either. Oh, God, yeah. Oh. But, hey, I'm going to segue kind of into a couple of stories that I found in the news.
Sounds good.
There's a couple. One, they're actually both pretty heinous. And then we'll get into some better news. You know, talking about better things later. But I want to talk about one particular item, and I actually blogged about it. And it's a story that's coming out of New York. A man faked his HIV results so that he could have unprotected sex with his girlfriend. His girlfriend at the time said that she would have unprotected sex with him if he could prove to her that he was HIV negative. So he forged the results and he presented them to her. And it turns out, and this happened in 2007, turns out that he was indeed he is indeed HIV positive, and he is now facing up to 8 years in prison for a couple of things. One, he lied about his status, and two, he forged official documents.
Right.
So there's a couple of issues, and I actually blogged about it. I actually talked about it a little bit because while I do not condone what he did, I just want to state that right out front.
Right.
But what were the governing factors? Why the hell did he do it? What the hell was he thinking, right, is what everybody's
thinking. Right.
You know, he wanted to have a sexual relationship with this woman. He was probably afraid of being rejected, you know. Stigma.
But the question is, would she have had sex with him with protection? Were they having sex before that? You know what I mean? Like, that's something that we don't know.
Right, but, you know, I think really the crux of the matter is the motivation. You know, was it, and I just want to bring it back to that whole issue of stigma that that surrounds this virus, that people will go to great lengths to hide their status, even delving into the illegal and breaking the law. And so I think we have to do a better job of going after the stigma, of lifting that veil away, so that people are comfortable with, you know, their HIV status, and that they won't have the fear of rejection hanging over their heads. So that's something that that everybody needs to I think need to work on.
Right, so he could have been hiding his status to have unprotected sex with her, or he could have been hiding his status to intentionally give it to her. Like, that could be a possibility, right?
That could absolutely be a possibility, but again,
because
he could not
be somebody who could be like revengeful, and maybe a girl gave it to him by doing the same thing, so
right.
He could be feeling that way. And
again, I'm not jumping to conclusions.
Right. I'm just bringing up both sides of possibility.
Exactly. and that's not to say that there aren't people out there, which brings me to the second story. the question is, should Nebraska require partners to be informed if you have HIV? This particular story is disturbing on so many levels. All right. A 16-year-old boy, had a sexual relationship with a man he met on the internet. This man is a 48-year-old man. In Nebraska, 16 is age of consent. So when you're 16, you can say, yes, you're allowed to have sex.
Okay.
But the man never told this 16-year-old kid that he was HIV positive.
Okay.
So this boy now, he's 17, still in high school, was burdened more and really concerned more about not him having the virus, but of what more this other guy would be doing. And his name, this man's name is Alan J. Moore. He's 48, lives in Nebraska. And I'm not giving away anything that isn't already published in newspapers, so before I get hate mail. It's so hard to just think about this thing. So what happened is the now 17-year-old, or the then 17-year-old, I'm sorry, he was 17 when he had this relationship with Alan Moore. So the then 17-year-old went to an Omaha police officer at the high school, told the police officer the story. The police in 2007 went to Mr. Moore's home, where they found Mr. Moore answered the detectives at the door naked. So the detectives are asking this man questions, and a 16-year-old boy stepped out of the bedroom. So he was having sex again with another teenager, and they were having unprotected sex. they had just finished. And the detective point blank looked at the kid and said, did this man tell you he was HIV positive? The 16-year-old said no. Moore was arrested right then and there. But he was not arrested for failing to tell his partners that he was HIV positive. This, I got to tell you, this story has a lot of twists in it.
Well, then what was he arrested for?
I'll get to that. So,
the suspense is killing me.
I'm telling you, Nebraska does not have, they have no law that makes it a crime to fail to inform your sexual partners that you have HIV. In many states, there are, I believe there's 32 states that do have laws in the books that make it illegal for someone not to inform. So everybody who's listening, make sure you know the laws of your state. Just want to let you know that.
Right.
So what he was arrested for was for videotaping these kids while having sex with them, because in Nebraska, though it's, if you're 16 or over, you can consent to have sex, yet if you're under 18, you're not allowed to videotape or record without a parent's consent.
That makes no sense.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just think you should be able to videotape if you could have, you know what I mean? Like, so you
it
have
is
to be
illegal taped? For anyone to videotape a child under the age of 18. Oh, wait, it's for sex, not with parents' consent. You cannot videotape a child under the age of 18 who is engaged in a sex act.
Okay, that's the United States law. That's not
that's,
Nebraska.
I think that's Nebraska.
Okay.
That's a Nebraska state law.
Okay.
So it's legal for adults to have sex with children 16 and over. It's illegal for anyone to videotape a child under 18
so that's
while having
right.
sex with them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So that is what they're prosecuting this man on. So.
That's all they have, I guess, right? And that's all they can use on them.
Well, it's a felony up to 20 years in prison. It's not a little thing, but it's big.
Yeah.
So this whole case is bringing to light that that they want to reintroduce a bill that died in the Nebraska Senate. To make it the law, as in with 32 other states, to make it a law to inform your partners. So be prepared for that to show up. So the whole story is kind of sick.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there's lots of different nuances here.
You know, that's the world we live in, believe it or not. Like, there's people like that, and young, you know, gay males go through that 16 to 18 where they're looking to find themselves, and they get wrapped up, you know, meeting wrong people at the wrong places, and, you know, it just, people can fall down that path, you know what I mean? It's a reality, and that story kind of, you know, puts it out there that there are some crazy people.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and there's some fallout to all of this as well. That the Sharon Renter, she's the outgoing executive director of the Nebraska AIDS Project. she has concerns about, you know, about, and it's, her quote is, the few individuals who are intimate with others without disclosing their medical status. Her concern is that, and this is what we're, this is, I think this is what we're seeing across the country, is that people would wait to get tested. They would, they, you know, would you go get tested if you knew that you could be prosecuted later on?
Right, that's, I never thought of that.
So that's what some folks are thinking about. And she of course talks about some of the, I think she, it's about 150 Nebraskans test positive every year for HIV, and nearly half of those people who have tested positive have already developed full-blown AIDS. So meaning that they've potentially had the HIV virus for many, many years before they got tested. So, you know, though people want to protect the community, at what cost? So,
I don't think it's too fair to have to, you know, out us. You know, it's a stage that we go through. I don't think we should have to be forced to be, you know, put out there.
But the more these types of stories come out, the more they criminalize it.
I don't know. I personally think that there should be something that should be done to people who are going out there and intentionally sleeping with people and not telling them. You know what I mean? Like, especially when they're specifically asking for proof, like that guy, and he did the forgery and things like that.
In the first story, yeah.
Yeah, like definitely, there should be something done to that man. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but
I agree.
But not
agree,
every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
But you know, we also have to look at it from a. We also have to look at it from a bigger perspective. It's not just the non-disclosure, but why? We have to ask ourselves why. And that's, I think that's a more important thing, to get to the root of the issue, and not just prosecute people because they're afraid. You know,
so do you think that they should be marked something, like I'm reading here in the chat room, and Tom states that it should be something more like a registered sex offender type of thing, where like...
Well, I think what Tom is talking about is having sex with young kids, I hope, and not that having HIV would be a registered sex offender.
No, I think he's talking about like not... like lying and not disclosing it on purpose.
I'm reading his chat, and it looks like, Tom, what are you talking about?
Right? Well, he says one strike, and then you get out it. We're put on a list, like a public list.
And if you go a couple up like that, he's talking about the age gap, how young a person is you're allowed to have sex with.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll make that clear.
You
know, there's a little bit of a delay between us and the chat, I think. So.
Yeah. So, you know, it's
having on, yeah, he's talking about having,
yeah,
on
having
sex
with HIV positive. You know, it's easy to say things like that. It's easy to say things like, you know, having unprotected sex while being HIV positive, but it's a much more difficult thing to look at, it from a larger, more holistic point of view, because it's, if you criminalize and make it into something that and you continue to stigmatize it where it's a bad thing, a bad thing, a bad thing, where people aren't going, or people will hold it back for fear of, you know, their physical safety, their, or you know, or being rejected at the bar. There's a huge gap there that we have to cover, and it goes from, and of course the stories that I'm talking about here, these are extreme, you know, obviously.
Right.
So it's all that other stuff in between that we have to look at.
It's very individual and it's very different for, like, I don't know, it's hard because some part of me wants to say, yeah, that it should be something where you're registered as doing something wrong. I don't want to call it, if it's a sex offender, it's not something like a pedophile, but it's, you know what I mean? It's to the point, I don't want people to consider, you know what I mean, to say, like, that's what I'm trying to say that it is. It's not that, it's that I'm trying to say that there should be something that they should, that you should be marked at if it's done, like, in a negative way. But then there's that emotional state that people who are positive, like ourselves, who go through that right before, you know, should I tell, should I not tell, should I tell, should I not tell, how do I say it, what do I say, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of on the fence. I don't know which way to jump, but you know what I mean? Because I can relate with being in that emotional part and not saying, you know, and not saying anything and just using protection, or, you know what I mean? It's just a kind of like, I don't know, kind of like both ways. Les says something in the chat room that somebody in North Carolina was just went to jail or prison for it.
Yeah, and there's another one who just went into, I think he's in house arrest. He's a DJ here in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard about that on the news. I think there was another guy in Florida who did that, and that was pretty big all over the news.
You know, so but the question really does come down is, I mean, how do you enforce something like that? And two, where does it stop being a public service and then become a witch hunt? And if you piss off the wrong person, you know,
they're going to say this.
Then it becomes a he said, she said. And if it goes in front of a jury, you know, it's, well, that scheming HIV positive person. You know, and we have, and unfortunately, I wish it were black and white. I wish it were just easy.
Right.
But
it has
not
to be gray.
What's that?
It has to be that gray.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge gray area because you can't just say, well, you know, you're HIV positive, and because if somebody comes up HIV positive, like an older partner that you had, let's say 2 years ago, they come back and say, I'm HIV positive, and you're the one who gave it to me, how are you going to prove that? How are you going to prove that it wasn't you?
Right.
So.
Sorry.
But, anyway. Those were two of the headlines that I wanted to share because it's a hard thing to these are tough stories, these are realities, you know, that we all look at and that we all see.
Well, that's one thing that I'm thankful for is I don't have to go through that process anymore. Like my segue.
There you go. What am I thankful
for? Wanted to touch a little bit about some things that we're thankful for. I know some of the last shows you were doing was actually on depression, so I kind of wanted to bring up the mood a bit and talk about some good things, you know, some positive things. Just, you know, Terry suggested that we do something that we're thankful for. So if you're out there and you want to call in and share with us what you're thankful for, you can give us a call at 347-215-9442. And actually, Linda should be calling in anytime soon to talk with her. She's our featured member of the month in the Pazam community for December. She is an affected member. Her best friend is HIV positive, and she joined us to kind of get a grasp of you know, kind of what he goes through and what she can do to help out. She's very, she helps volunteer with me. She's done the World AIDS Day event with me. She went on the AIDS walk and raised over $400 for our team. So she's a great lady. She should be calling in soon. Is she still in the chat room? Yeah, she's still in there. So once she calls in, I'll put her in. So is there anything you're thankful for, Jeremy?
God, I'm just thankful to be alive.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton to be thankful for.
Right.
You know, but I think one of the biggest things is, you know, I'm thankful to be sitting here today on this show.
Right.
Because May 2007, what is it, Memorial Day weekend, May 2007, I just probably wouldn't have, if I had not gone into the doctor on that Saturday, I wouldn't be here now. They would have found me rotting to death, you know, rotting away in my apartment because I didn't let anybody know I was sick until it was the last minute.
Well, I'm thankful you're here too.
Me too.
And I'm thankful that we have Linda on the line too.
Is Linda on the line? Is she?
She should be. Linda.
Hello. Hello. Yeah.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Welcome.
Hello.
How are you doing
today? Hello, Linda.
Hi, Jeremy. I'm doing good.
Doing good? You sound a little under the weather.
Huh?
You sound a little under the weather.
I'm just tired today.
Tired? Am I keeping you up late by calling in?
No. I just made sure I didn't lay down. I sat in the chair. Sometimes I lay down and then I miss the show because I fall asleep.
Do we bore you?
No, not at all. It's just...
You fall asleep beforehand.
Sunday is my getting ready for the next weekday.
So, Linda, you're one of our affected members of the Paz I Am community, and let's talk about why you wanted to maybe, why'd you join?
Well, I joined I had met you through Joseph, and
right.
I knew you had the site, but I kind of was almost hesitant because I thought, well, I really don't know enough, I'm not infected, and then I went on, and the more I looked, I thought, all right, I'm going to join, and it really turned out to be a really great thing for me because my best friend has been positive for like 25 years, and I'm learning a lot more of what he goes through every day. Like, you know, I just pretty much kept up on his health, but I really didn't know about all the stigma and all the other stuff that people who are infected had to deal with. So it's really been an eye-opener for me.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I know that you do a lot helping me, and I want to thank you publicly for that because you went on the AIDS walk and you went down to the event with me and drove me down. She's such a sweetheart there, Jeremy, if you ever meet her. she is. And you actually you went out and just got a tattoo right recently within the last year, right? Or a couple last
yep.
couple months.
Mhm.
And it's a big blue butterfly, right?
Right.
With a red ribbon in the middle. It's really pretty. You can check that out on the website. I posted that up there, and I think you have it up there too on your thing. But so what are you thankful for this great season?
Oh, many, many things. All my friends, all my new friends through the community, and always for Timmy. He's my best friend in the world and really the reason, you know, that I got involved with Paz I Am. But, you know, that he's still here today. I mean, you know, he decided to be a guinea pig for the first protease inhibitor, and I think that's what saved his life, you know, so I'm really thankful that he's still here with me today.
How's he doing? We actually haven't seen him in a while. He used to call into our radio show and make a ruckus.
Well, I told him I was going to be on tonight, so he might be listening. I don't know. But he's doing good. He's doing good. He had some problems with his meds, but they got that. They changed him, got him back on the right track, so he's doing well.
Well, that's good. Tell him that we were asking for him.
I will.
And that we miss him.
Yeah, he doesn't need to call in. I miss having him call in.
Yeah,
right?
He's always a joy, right?
He's so shy.
Yeah, he is shy.
He really needs to come out of his shell.
He used to be shy. That's the funny thing. But life has forced him out of his shell, I guess.
Yeah, right.
And I'm thankful for my dog, Marilyn, because she's getting up there and she's still here with me. So.
Her name is Marilyn?
Marilyn. She's her right name is Norma Jean, but we call her Marilyn.
Norma Jean?
Mm-hmm. That was Marilyn Monroe's.
That's funny.
Name.
We call my dog Precious Mary Jean.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Linda, Norma Jean is lost on Robert. He's
too young.
He doesn't.
I knew you would still get it, though.
Look, I'm going to be 30 soon. I'm not too young.
Oh, Rob.
Rob.
So, Linda, what has Pause I Am that, you know, being in the community, on the site,
mm-hmm.
what has that done for you personally? I mean, because you're affected, you're starting to meet all these people. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, like I said, it definitely opened up my eyes to, you know, all the negative things. I mean, I guess I was just naive to it. Just the same thing with homosexuality. I mean, you know, Timmy's been my friend for like ever, you know, so I guess when you don't view those things in a negative way or they're just not an issue, you kind of don't, if you're not part of that community, you don't know what these individual people go through every day, you know, and I think that was the main thing that really, I almost was kind of felt like a real jerk, you know, because I thought, wow, I only ever asked Timmy how he's feeling. I didn't know that, you know, there's all these mental issues and so forth. So that would be the main thing. But I've met a lot of people, and it, like Bob said, you know, I've helped out in some things and raised money for through the walk and stuff, and it's motivated me to try to, in whatever, even if it's just some small way, make a difference. Like when I went to get my tattoo, my friend was like, why would you put that on yourself? You know, people might think that you have it. I said, I don't really care what people think. I hope they ask me about it because then I can give some information and maybe help, you know, educate someone or, you know, point them in a direction, you know, the community, your site, Jeremy, you know, like it really has. I mean, it's been a big part of my life in the, ever since I joined the community. So I'd say it really has, you know, given me like a cause, you know, like I really feel compelled to go out and do whatever I can.
Great. And I think that's awesome because, you know, I think there are a lot of folks out there who don't get involved because it doesn't affect them or they don't think. And where you have firsthand, you know, have been affected. What has your response been to people when, I mean, have you had any interesting responses to the tattoo that you got?
I mean,
your friends think, why would you do that?
Well, I mean, you know, and the thing that was funny about her, she's a nurse and she works in the operating room, so she, you know, she's well educated about, you know, ways you get it and things like that. And I don't know, yeah, I think it really bothered me because someone had said to me something about it being a dirty disease. And I said, you know, if you would, you know, educate yourself about it before you, you know, spout off and say, you know, things like that, you know, you would find out that it's not. And I said, and that kind of attitude, in my opinion, is the reason that it's still, you know, growing in such numbers today. You know, people think they're above it. They think they're not part of the group that, you know, gets it. You know, people think that. And it doesn't discriminate, and that's what I tell people. It doesn't discriminate in any way, shape, or form. Everybody can get it, you know. So, you know, but I really have and most people don't give me that open to really say a whole lot. Most people aren't that rude, you know. That
right.
I.
The funny thing is when we were on the walk, the one thing is I knew Linda before she joined, so I met her, you know what I mean, beforehand. And when we went down and we met Teresa on the walk, That was like something special for me.
Yeah, that was.
You know what I mean? To meet her family, because it was somebody who, you know, I never knew before, and it was somebody who we met through the Paz IM community, and we would have never have met if it wasn't for, you know, the website. So it was very interesting to meet her and to walk that whole entire walk. God bless her. Is she almost 50?
Yeah, I think right about 50, but
right about 50.
I really was very touched by it, because like halfway through the walk, I asked her, you know, like how long she'd been infected, and I forget when she told me, but I mean, she was like near death in the hospital. Like her family, like they were ready for her to die, and you know, now here she is, you know, years later, and she's, you know, walking this whole walk, and I thought that's really fantastic, you know.
Yeah, it was very empowering to watch her do it. She didn't give up, too. I mean, I wanted to give up.
You could tell she was struggling.
And I was like, oh, I'm so over it. But we kept walking. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. One of the other things that you do is you're one of the greeters, too, for the website. And I appreciate that, because all these other people do these little things that help me out. It means a lot, because it's one thing that I can't, you know, can't keep on track on, because there's so many different things, like the radio show. I want to make this better, and hopefully after some Christmas presents, I'll be able to get some features to enhance the show. So that'll be fun. And then the website stuff, so there's always something. So you're a greeter for me, and I just want to let you know that I appreciate that a lot, because when new members join, when they get that greetings, they always love that warm welcome. And a lot of people tell me, like, when I join your site, actually this guy just sent me an email. When I join your site, he goes, I don't feel like profile number 32158. He goes, I feel like you know who I am, because I interact with everyone, and because,
right,
you know, we have the greeters that, like you do, and they appreciate that. So I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of that, because I know it meant a lot to one of our new members, Josh, who just joined from Florida. So I just want to say, hey, Josh, he's working right now at the Guess in the mall, at that hectic mall. But
I've got a couple comments and emails from people, you know, that you can tell they really feel like it's more personalized, you know, like people have thanked me for welcoming them.
Right, because it means a lot when you're new, when you're joining something, and you're like, I don't even know if I'm even going to go on this website, because a lot of people who join are scared to even admit it. So I think maybe the name sometimes is hesitant, because people don't want to put it in their browser or whatnot, because of, you know, their family members see, and if they're not out about it. So I feel like sometimes that hesitant from people because the name itself. But I think you do a great job, and a lot of people, you know, have given me good feedback about, you know, how great of a friend you are, and things like that. Terry loves you and stuff like that. I've got really good feedback, and I just wanted to show people that, you know, the people that are affected are just as important in the positive community as the people that are infected with the disease, because we're all in this together, and we all have to, you know, stand up for one another. And I think it's a very wonderful thing that you do when you go in there and participate in our website.
And I've met so many nice people. I mean, I talk to Terry on the phone now, you know, like occasionally, maybe once a month or something. But, you know, it's really neat to, you know, like put the radio show helps that too, but to like put a voice with this profile, you know, that you're looking at on the computer, it's neat, you know. It would be really great if we could all get together sometime.
Yeah, I want to actually plan.
Although now you're really branching out.
I want to actually try to plan an event. That would, I think, would be really cool if I could do like a weekend event overnight in Philly, you know, and invite some members to, you know, come and do certain things, like go to the art museum one day, and go to a show. You know, there's tons of things in Philly that we can go and do, you know what I mean, for a weekend. I think it would be a good event, if, you know, for people that could afford it, and if we could do some sort of fundraising for people who couldn't, you know, I think that would be a good thing. What do you think, Jeremy?
I think that would be actually kind of cool.
Would you and Mark come to an event?
Far away.
Yeah, right. He's not that far away. He could drive.
Oh, God. Are you kidding? Mark and I can barely survive each other in a 4-hour car trip down to Atlanta.
That's funny.
I think it would be kind of fun, you know, to have to get us all there, and we could do a live broadcast together one night.
Yeah, we could.
That'd
actually.
Cool.
Ooh.
Really,
you got my mind thinking.
Yeah, see?
And there's so many, you know, great historical places that are here, so I think it would be a good thing. And I know I can get, like, spaces, that I could rent out pretty cheap from people that are in the, you know, the middle of the city, because my soccer club does a lot of, you know, gets places for our events, for tournaments. So I know I could get, like, big rooms and get, like, a catering thing if we wanted to have, like, a big dinner and stuff. Oh, you got me thinking. See, that's all down the line.
See that? See?
I got so
we'll
many
be
fans.
Celebrity. We'll be celebrities.
Yeah,
and you
right?
know, celebrities, that means someone everybody knows. Oh, God, I'm going to break into song.
Right, they're going to want our autographs.
That's right.
Just remember, your friends at the bottom.
That's right.
Is anyone else out
Believe
there?
Me, I remember all of my friends on the bottom or at the bottom.
If anyone out there has a question and wants to call in and ask either Jeremy or myself or Linda, 347-215-9442. You know you got those people out there. But other than that, let me see some other things. One thing that we're going to start, I know, Linda, you have the book, right? Did you get your book back, The Naked Truth?
I did.
We're going to start this on January 1st for the Paz I Am Book Club. It's The Naked Truth by Marvelyn Brown. If you don't have it, put it on your Christmas list. Is it on your list, Jeremy?
It is not on my list.
You're going to make me have to send you one.
Yes, yes. You're going to have to send it to me. I'll probably go to the library and pick it up.
Yeah, right. But we're going to start that. And then the other book that's on the profile that's flashing, it's just a book that I picked up not too long ago, actually at that expo that you were at, Linda, where Joe had the event. And it's a book called You Are Not Your Illness, The 7 Principles for Meeting the Challenge. I just started it. It's a local Pennsylvania late woman by the name of Linda Topps. And I just started it, so I can't really tell you much about it because I don't know much about it. But I just wanted to put it out there for people to read. I read the back, and it sounded very interesting. I'm always looking for new positive ways to change my life, you know?
Yep.
You know, you want to know something that we should all be thankful for.
Yes.
It is that Paz I Am has been a positive thing that has changed a lot of people's lives, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, no pun intended, but, or should I say every pun intended, but, you know, you just see a lot of, you know, a lot of folks are having fun chit-chatting, you know, using the chat feature and getting into stuff, and they're having a good time. And that's important, you know, because HIV is such a heavy subject. You know, it weighs on our minds, it weighs on our bodies, it weighs on our emotions. And it's just nice to be able to go someplace and have a good experience with other people without having to...
It's comfortable.
You know, exactly. You know, being comfortable, being accepted. And that's what Paz I Am is. It gives you a place to be accepted. I've been on other, you know, I'm a member of other sites and that have open forums and things like that, and you get into these forum wars, you know, just these flame wars where they're, you know, you get people that are nasty, and they just, and you don't get that on Paz I Am. You don't get the nastiness.
Right.
I think one of the best things about it is it's not a sex site. I mean, a lot of people, you know, email me about that, and they say, like, that's their favorite part about it is that it's a non-sexual online community where people aren't there to be looking hot and trying to pick up other people.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
I
yes,
want to be
gonna,
there to look hot, Rob.
Well, yeah, you're going to go there and you're going to, you know, look your best or whatever. But I mean,
exactly.
that's not the main purpose. And we have couples that are, you know, that join together, and, you know, and there are people that are on there single, you know, and that's the way of life, and that's how people are. And it's basically not that. Could you possibly find your next person on there? Maybe you could. Friends become, you know, best friends become best lovers and husbands and wives. That's the fact of life, but it's not the purpose of it. And a lot of people like the fact that there's no pressure of having somebody hunt them down, you know, trying to get them, you know, to meet or hook up.
Right.
And actually, I just added, I don't know if you noticed, I just added applications now to people, open social applications that you can put on your profile. And there's a couple interesting ones. They've actually been there for a while, but I just put a tab at the top of the page. And there's ones that you can put on, like, your friend grid. There's another one that you can put a jukebox on, and you can have your horoscope. And I think the one that I just discovered was a member map. So it's like a map, a Google map that goes on your profile, and then all your friends who also have the member map on their profile show up on the map at where they're located at, which is kind of neat.
Oh, great. Now I'll have an online stalker, and they'll know where I live.
I was just thinking that. No.
Just your city and state. Or you could just put your state and they'll do it.
That's like the MySpace I put on there when I'm going to concerts and stuff, and my girlfriend says, oh, great, so the stalkers and the serial killers know exactly where you'll be and when. I never thought of it like that.
But, you know, we bring something, we're making fun of something that actually is very serious.
Right.
And, you know, being safe in an online environment is very important. And we do get comfortable with each other, and we start giving more and more information. But what we all need to realize is that when you put it out in the blogosphere, in the webosphere, in the internet, or as George Bush says, the internets, when you put it out there, it's out there forever. So, this is Jeremy's little information security speech. That's what I do in my real world. It's really important to be cognizant of the information that you're sharing always, and because you don't want to give too much information. And I think, you know, those map things are really fun to get an idea of where everybody is, and you know, just remember that it is an online community that anybody can get onto. So,
and also remember, if you are a member, you can actually go to your settings on the PosIAM community on your profile, and you can make your page private, just like MySpace, where nobody can view it. You can make your pictures private. Anything you want, you can make private, where only your friends can see or nobody can see. It's, you know, it's very easy to block it, and you don't even have to upload a picture of yourself if you don't want to. That's one of the cool features that I liked about it, is that people didn't have to, you know, upload a certain picture of themselves. They could upload anything or just use the avatar that we have on the website. Linda, it was such a pleasure for you to call in.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
I was very, very excited to have you call in. I'll have you sit in with us, but I just wanted to tell you again, thank you for all your help, especially taking me down to that event. It meant a lot to me.
I had fun hanging out with you.
Yeah, it's great getting to know you.
I know you got us lost in the city.
Yeah, we did get lost in the city. But the good thing is that she went and got tested, which was good, and, you know, came back negative, which is, you know, good for Linda, not Lisa, Tom, because he keeps thinking I'm calling you Lisa. it was very cool because I went the year before with Tracy, and she went and got tested, you know, the same year, too. So it's kind of cool because I don't think she would have went and got tested without going to the event. I don't know about you, Linda, but it's just, I know.
I usually give blood, but, you know, it was cool to have, like, a real test.
Right. Well, we are down to the last 90 seconds. So, Jeremy, you want to give yourself a shout out?
Well, if everybody would like to, and I would love to have you there, come visit me at www.positivelyspeaking.com. It's positively with a Z. So come by, take a look, and I have a couple of blog posts out there. I also have all of these episodes, these weekly episodes listed out there, so for viewing and listening pleasure. I put out some, you know, headlines of the day that are constantly rolling in, so feel free, stop by, take a look, and you can also throw out a comment on one of the blogs if you'd like, so I'd love to hear from you.
Yes, and I just want to remind everyone you can learn more about me and Linda and Jeremy all at the PosIAM community, and that's at www.posiam.com. Remember to rate and comment the show here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everyone, and I'm thankful to our listeners and to all the members of the PosIAM community for joining me and, you know, believing in my vision. And I want to thank Linda, and I also want to thank Jeremy because without you guys, this wouldn't be possible today. This show was great. I want to thank you all for participating. And Jeremy, thank you for doing the show with me. It means a lot.
Aw, you're
welcome.
Have
a good night. Bye, guys.
Oh, you have a good night, too. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.